Hello and welcome everyone to the Traction Stage podcast. Traction is what every founder in an early stage startup is looking for. It is the clear evidence that the market wants your product or service, and it's when things start getting bigger and better. I'm Alexandre Azevedo, and as your host, I'll interview startup entrepreneurs from all over the world to better understand which were the elements they've counted on and the challenges they faced before finding traction for their businesses. In today's episode, I'll interview Alexander Vavarenko, founder of ShipNext. Hello and welcome, Alexander. It's very nice to meet you. Thanks a lot for being with us today.
Hello, Alex. Nice talking to you.
Great. So start by telling us who you are and ShipNext business today.
We are an international company. I'm Belgian, based in Ukraine most of the time, but running a group of companies with offices in Hamburg, Paris, Genoa, Dubai, Limassol, Odessa, and Singapore. It's a group of shipping and transport companies. We are a non-asset-based carrier of everything starting from general and heavy and oversized cargo down to dry bulk and containers. And over these years, with my 17-year history, I've been successful in the transport business, yet I used the skills which I built before joining transport from my school and pre-university years of being a software developer myself. I came to a phase where I used all the skills in both transport and shipping, as well as built a successful team to execute a unique project in the supply chain sector in the transport industry, which is an Uber-like solution of matching cargo to a ship, of a marketplace solution that would include all participants of the transport industry, and eventually solve a lot of issues and problems which arise in today's logistics and supply chain management.
Great. And how did this solution come to your mind? How everything started?
Sure. I was, doing my daily work. And of course, it involves, literally going through thousands of emails a day. Our company receives up to 10,000 emails every day, containing cargoes, open ships positions, requests, and different other things related to our clients' needs or the transport industry. And a lot of my time is of course dedicated to just going through that correspondence. Every one of my managers spends hours looking through a lot of requests. And with every request he receives, he needs to open an attachment, go through the details of every cargo, run calculations in his head if he knows that data. If he doesn't know some information about the port of loading or port of discharge or that cargo, he needs to go and search it. And then he has to think of the best shipping solution he may have. So he goes into further calculations, further information search, and then complex calculations before he can, calculate and offer a solution. A lot of this work is routine. Look through to information or relevant or updated information on ports which you already searched some 2-3 months ago. You're looking for ships, and that includes calling brokers, looking through different search engines, or maybe your email box of yesterday and the day before, and maybe something you found, and then you start asking questions to different brokers and shipping companies looking for a solution. And that also includes their time, their free schedule to help you. And all that, running around, of course, also has to include some real-time data. So by the time you find information on the port, you should be able to or by the time you start fixing that cargo, that information should be actual. And you know, this old routine to me seemed like a lot of inefficiency. And I decided to put an algorithm in place and create a natural language-based solution that would instantly read in any incoming email, analyze it, standardize it, and by analyzing, use all the real-time databases that we have, all the statical databases that we have collected over these years, and make the evaluation and instantly offer the best option. And because it's an algorithm-based solution, it creates a unique opportunity of having a more or less transparent way of having that kind of a solution on instant basis, almost like you get a taxi when you order an Uber taxi online.
And how long from the idea, from the moment that you had this idea of an algorithm, how long did it take until you see some traction, until you see that the clients, the customers were demanding, were wanting this kind of solution?
You know, here I have to mention that, in fact, I was not the only one who tried building something similar. And all of the previous options, attempts have failed. All the previous companies that tried building something similar, unfortunately, have failed and never gotten that traction. So it was a challenging decision. Before we involved in anything similar, we had to have some very important factors. One of them is to have a person that would translate my knowledge, my experience into something like a formula. And for that, you need a science called linear programming. It's not commonly used in Europe, Asia, or America, but it has been big part of my university process when I was in the university. And I have a PhD in mathematics who knows this in practical sense to build that kind of an algorithm. And that is a missing factor in most of the previous attempts. That alone took some time because from the moment we got an idea, like you said, down to the process of building it, we spent some, let's say, 1.5 years building a team. And that team was tested on different other projects. We had a very professional group of software developers, which was very important because, if you know, in software developing, you can learn in half a year or more that somebody is just not capable of delivering the solution you expect him to deliver. And so we knew that the team we have knows exactly and does exactly what they promise. And we sat down, we had already a PhD in place who started writing algorithms that use all my knowledge and putting it into formulas for software developers to create. Then a very important factor is the traction. And you're right about that, because if we would simply launch a product that would do all that, not only could we not productively test it, but we could never get past the chicken and egg situation, because when you launch something like this, you need the first cargo owner or a trader, whoever ships his cargo, to come on board and see ships out there. Because otherwise, you know, it's not interesting for him to go and put in a cargo, even though you have a smart algorithm to identify and process his email. He would just not send an email there because there is no point. There are no ships there. If you're looking for, first the carriers or the ship owners to put their ships, what's the use for them sending you all these ships if you have no cargo? So I've done something quite challenging, which is to open up our database, our flow of cargoes and ships we collected over these years of about 10,000 emails every day into this algorithm of matching cargoes to ships. So my clients at a certain moment started instantly getting a solution that Otherwise, they would be getting in hours or days. And so that was quite challenging because I was, of course, running the risk of not only catching them by surprise, but also to a certain moment, give them that solution that otherwise my company would have been giving it to them.
So you, just to understand, you start running in the background your solution for the current clients that you had at the time.
Exactly. And the owners, sometimes my competitors, and in most of the time it's my competitors, would receive instantly the cargo that would otherwise I would have to find and use and their ship to carry it myself. So, you know, as I clearly mentioned, our shipping company is a non-asset-based shipping company. So it's more an intermediary, a speculator in the market, trying to win by intransparencies and inefficiencies of the transport industry. So I find the cargo, I fix it at the highest rate possible, and then I find the ship, and because I'm, let's say, probably faster and more intelligent in finding that best combination, I could get a certain margin out of it. So if I build an algorithm doing that instantly in just a second, I not only replace millions of man hours to match these cargos and ships, but I also remove and create that transparency in the market that everybody was looking for.
Great. So the traction, if I understood correctly, the traction that you had, that you start having on the ShipNext solution, refers basically in the traction that you already had in Varamar, correct?
Correct. Yes.
In Varamar customers. So you apply a different solution, and sometimes this is a very difficult thing to do for an established company, disrupt itself.
Yes.
Or
it's
own business. That's
exactly
what you were courageous to execute, right?
Exactly. And when people ask us ourselves, are we ourselves using this product? I can say it is a very thin border between disrupting the business completely, which is very important because the business I'm disrupting helps me further develop the product. So at a certain moment, of course, like with Telex, at a certain moment, it's just being, obsolete. You know, nobody uses it anymore. But while Varamar keeps on going and being that human touch on top of the automation, on top of the just a pure cargo to ship matching, Varamar keeps on working further on different intransparencies and inefficiencies of the transport industry, while ShipNext, gets continuous growth in traction in doing its job too. Look at it in that way. If you are looking for a photographer, you sometimes question yourselves, why don't I just, take my phone, my smartphone, and make a photo myself? But it doesn't mean that all photographers are gone. Professional photographers stay, not only because of the human touch, but because of the comfort and because of the troubleshooting and things like that. So in anything, in all digital solutions, you must most probably come to the same point of segregating the market into a cheap, straightforward, fast, and convenient solution, and something with a human touch on top, handmade, as a handmade solution, a tailor-made solution that could be costly, but it's also somewhere more comforting because you have a person that could do the troubleshooting in case something happens. And this is how we started.
Okay, so I've written down here some elements that you consider important as the personal knowledge, your personal knowledge translation that you had to put into the platform, the open database that you had from Varamar in that time, Is there any more, any other element that you think is important from this, this pre-traction journey that was important for you to get traction?
Well, yes, of course, you need to know the market. This is also, you know, to have a reputation and knowledge of the market, because you cannot, unfortunately or fortunately, you cannot be just a guy sitting in your kitchen and building a solution that would disrupt the market. First of all, you don't need to disrupt the market. You need to evolutionize the market. And that is important. People don't really want disruption. They want evolution. You can disrupt your company if you like, you know, to build that solution, but then you need to give a very soft change, and you have to understand what the market really needs. I can't say that I, you know, I of course make everybody comfortable, right? A lot of people will most probably have to change. I mean, everybody will have to change for, as from now, you know, you in a good way, in fact, in a good way, because you don't need to be sitting soon, you know, your whole day trying to read thousands of emails. It's done anyway. It's done automatically with my and other solutions. And you don't have to be spending hours anymore behind your screen. You, with your human skills, you have to go out there and find and use your skills to find the client, talk to him, understand his problems, analyze all the information you can get instantly to find a, yet a better solution for him. And that's what you have to do as a human being. You should not be sitting in front of your screen being a robot trying to you know, beat a computer in email reading. And that's my approach. And you only understand this approach by knowing it. And another factor, as I said, is knowledge of the industry is of course important, because you have to know how to build a company. You have to know how to build a solution in the physical world before you take it digital. You cannot build a shipping solution if you have never built a shipping company. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, sure. And during this early stage, Alexander, this pre-traction stage, which do you think was the most difficult challenge ShipNext faced? And how did you overcome it?
Well, one of the main complications we came across is corruption. Corruption doesn't actually mean you know, money laundering or accepting bribes in the physical mm-hmm. form. Corruption, to my understanding, and to basically a lot of companies' understanding, is when you have your favorite broker that would only be the only one who always knows first about your cargo. You're not creating a transparency by having a favorite broker living off your company's miseries. You have to, as a transport specialist, as a manager of a transport division, you have to do everything to collect as much information as possible and to create and to find the most efficient solution, let alone, you know, based on real-time data. So when you only, and this is a challenge, because a lot of transport managers, chartering managers in the, this field, they all have their own friends, you know, who take them out for dinners, who give their them a yacht to play around with on their holidays. And of course, this is a challenge, because our solution, you know, makes that obsolete. It doesn't allow you to hide the data that you otherwise could, you know, allow people to see openly. You have to create extra value. You cannot be a copy-paste broker, for example. You cannot just be sitting around just tossing email from one company to another, because eventually that will also be transparent. We are not in the telex times. That is the first challenge, of course. So a lot of managers, they were, let's say, uncomfortable with the fact that, you know, things will have to change. But again, you don't have to. Yeah, I mean, you never had to change from telex to email. You just have to understand that one day you will be inefficient. And this was the good moment when we saw one large company actually fire the top management of their transport division. They were just, you know, inefficient. They were afraid of the change, and their owner, the founder of that big organization, said to himself that, well, probably then I have to, you know, he has to find better people, because they have to be more aggressive. They have to be more, ahead of times in their approach, and more efficient. The second challenge, go ahead.
Just to mention here, I think this challenge will follow you during your journey, right? Because you have other phases in your roadmap that consider having more technology, or adopting even more technology and solutions and digitization and smart contracts. You still have some great steps in the way, and this is going to tackle inefficiencies all over the supply chain, right?
Yeah. So the way I think is going to happen. First of all, you should understand that it's always somebody third. You know, if you don't like the change and I want you to like the change, there's somebody third who's going to spend more money and transform his business, or even create another solution, right? Mm-hmm. Just look at it this way. Again, the example I like most is an Uber, right? If you were that taxi driver that always wanted me to see your advertisement on the first pages of the yellow pages, and I'm that guy who just, you know, doesn't like using a phone to call a taxi, there is somebody third, you know, somebody who said, look, I will offer you an Uber solution where you just have to press one button and that's it. And this happens all over the industry. I mean, they first introduced emails, and you were sitting and thinking, oh my God, you know, emails, well, so should I change, or should I just keep on typing it on my typing machine and send it by telex? And then suddenly they went further and said, oh, here's internet. Here's, dozens of web pages where you can go and visit, and here's a computer and things like that. So, you know, you were sitting still with that typing machines, and you're already two or three or four steps behind. You just cannot afford it anymore at a certain moment. So, of course, we have to go further. We are already, two or three years ahead of everyone. So we have to go further in order to create that second and third and fourth steps to finally not only make that change more comfortable, but more substance in it, to add substance and to add, security that our solution is not just a one-time show.
Yeah, sure. Were you mentioning other challenge?
Yes. The other challenge is, of course, proving that your technology works on its early adoption, and that you are going to make it more efficient. Yeah, of course. Well, look. Yeah. The server, let alone the internet, were not ready for our product to go live. I mean, imagine thousands of emails and millions of calculations every minute, and a lot of solutions flowing around by email, on company servers. So, we were afraid of going, you know, into spam boxes and being banned from internet. So, of course, that alone was a technological challenge. But of course, from day one, we were not as efficient as we are already today, because as we go further, we improve the algorithms, we improve the search. If you are, again, talking of a simpler comparison, you're not just getting a car, or you're not just getting a ship anymore. You're getting a ship that maybe is based on yet a bigger amount of calculations and matching. It could be a ship that needs to take your cargo, because after the moment it drops it off, it has to be in that location, and it's the most efficient location in terms of many other factors that carrier sets for himself. The criteria or things like that, you know. So it's just a much, much more advanced algorithm, and of course the clients that entered our page on day one have to be, you know, dragged into this solution yet again to see how far we've jumped since then.
Yeah, sure. And in this early stage, I'm curious, which was the most difficult decision you and your team had to make?
Well, of course, to disrupt the company processes, right? Our own business model, to put that under disruption, I would say. And of course, a couple of managers were uncertain of what's going to happen, and you know, how is things going to turn. And so, you know, a couple of them left. It was a difficult process. I would say it needed a lot of handwork, a lot of fine tuning, because I could not jeopardize having one business go broke by and build another one. You know, it's just a different type of a solution, but all the things we've built so far just helped making it possible. And that was the most difficult decision, I would say.
Great. It must have been very difficult, really.
Oh, yeah,
really.
I have some more gray hair now.
And finally, before we end in the episode, Alexander, what piece of advice would you give startup entrepreneurs that want to develop their startups, to achieve traction to their idea, and which are in this initial stage? What would you say then?
You know, I've really I left this question unanswered in my earlier preparation for this interview. And you know, in fact, it's a difficult question. In fact, you know, I never go into recommendations, because every entrepreneur has to make tough decisions. You know, there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there who are by far more successful by having nothing, putting it into a nice wrap, selling it for a couple of millions, and then disappearing. And of course, for them, probably it was a successful decision. You know, and then this is one of the ways of doing it. For example, in the U.S., in Europe, there is more accountability, and especially when you're from the transport industry, you can't go making fool of yourself, because you know everybody knows you in this industry. You are a person that, you know, they trust. And especially when you're coming out of a certain business and you start making a fool of yourself, you can lose not only the new idea, the future of the new idea, but also the customers that used to work with you over these years. So that accountability puts a lot of restraints and extra pressure on you to actually think what you do before you start fooling the public. You know, and that's something that is also challenging. You can't start building something until you are absolutely sure you can deliver, and that's again even more challenging, because the money you collect or the money you use, if you are a self-funded project, you know, has to end up in a success, and that's something, you know, that always keeps me away of recommending something. Everybody has their own way. You know, you sometimes a success for you is earning a couple of bucks and then running away and starting a new life. For others, success is transforming the industry and leaving something behind in history. So it all depends on what your what happiness or your success is for yourself. What are you looking in from, you know, to achieve from that business? So, you know, for me, just, you know, indeed transforming the market and being accountable to stay behind your promises, which are the most important factors and the recommendations, because that builds your credibility. And that's what you know keeps my main business going, and that's what brings extra traction to what I'm trying to achieve and build in digital.
Okay, great advice. Instead of not willing to give any advice, this was a certainly great words for early stage entrepreneurs. Okay, thanks a lot, Alexander. It was very good having you with us today.
Thank you, Alex.
And thanks for sharing your experience.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, goodbye. Thank you.
And how about you? Did you like this episode? Please visit us at thetractionstage.com and leave your comment. There you will find all the episode's show notes as well as additional information about the founders and their startups. I'll wait for you there. Bye-bye.